What's going on, everybody? We are the Let's Talk Divots podcast. We are a women's professional god podcast brought to you by people who walk inside the ropes on the LPGA Tour. I'm your host, Casey Johnson, joined by my good friend, Captain Ron Dunn. And if you don't know us by now, then you haven't been a listener, and we need you to be a listener because we are out here growing the game of golf. We are doing what we can, not just ladies golf, but golf in general. So if you've been a fan of the pod, we really, really appreciate your efforts. We're here every week. We're covering what the women are doing, what's relevant in the game, and we've just been having a great time doing it. So continue to share. We just love continuing to see the growth. We're gaining a little bit of traction, even though the season's coming to an end. But we just want to say thank you so much for all that. And we are at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. Just continue to give it off to a friend. And that's the word of mouth is the best way. And let's just keep growing the family. So without further ado, Ronnie, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Casey. Good to see you there. Everything is good. Doing good. Here we are. This is the beginning of the end. Yes, only two more tournaments left. The U.S. 75th U.S. Open, and then next week down in Naples, Florida, the CME Cup.
And yeah, just a little disclaimer alert. A little disclaimer alert to our audience. We are back on Zoom. We've been in the studio for the last, 20 weeks or so, and so if there's just a little bit of a lag, then it just kind of is what it is. But Volunteers of America, I'm in San Diego, you are there, Ron. Give us the you're not there anymore, but let's jump in, man. What a week.
Yeah, I left the colony over there and just outside 30 miles north of Dallas, Texas, and boy, was it frigid conditions over there. You being a Canuck and from Canada, you're used to that, but oh my. On Friday morning, just to let you know, Charlie Hull teed off and the temperature was about 35 degrees. The women looked like they were going skiing.
Yeah, let's talk about that weather. It was kind of the major story, really, to begin the week. Temperatures in the 30s, frost overnight. Round three, I believe we had a frost delay. And it was right through the practice rounds. And to put it on top of that, there was 30 mile an hour gusts of winds. Like, it was winter golf out there. It was serious. It reminded me of Canada. It reminded me of where I played college golf in Alberta. And it was like putting, the ladies had gloves on, they had toques on, beanies, whatever you want to call them. And it was just like, it lacked fun early in the week, to be honest with you, if I could say it any other way.
Well, yeah, the very early of the week, the practice rounds were very tough the first 3 days. And then as tournament conditions came Thursday, Friday, not much better. The wind chill out. There was definitely putting it down into the 30s. There was a little frost delay. I think it was Friday morning. Saturday ended up being a beautiful day. Sunday wasn't bad at all. Temperatures proved the scores were very, very, I guess you'd call them high. The highest cut I think we've had, what was it, +8 made the cut?
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. 7 under par one. And just to so the first tee times, and because of daylight, the field had 96 players in it. There's only 10 hours of daylight out there. And, round one, they didn't even get it done. And, round two, I'm sure Ronnie could tell a story about watching us run in as the last group. But just really, really difficult when the ladies are out there at 6:30 warming up for their practice rounds. And it's 38 degrees. Like, the ball isn't flying. If you don't catch it perfect on the sweet spot, your hands are cold. Vibrations go up your arms. It's just it's the conditions that you don't really see on tour because, this tournament was rescheduled to because of COVID. Typically it's played in the early October when it's nice there that time of year, but extremely difficult conditions. And the ladies that were able to grind got it done. So here we are, man.
Yeah, Friday night, I can reminisce a little bit of looking at you guys, you and your player, literally running down the 18th fairway to get it in before dark. They did position a couple of light stands on the 18th, but they weren't very well positioned. You could see the fringes, not really the cup. But watching you guys, you were right on the cut line. You missed it. I think you bogeyed 17, so you knew you weren't going to get in. So by that, or maybe it was 16, and then by that time, you guys just threw your hands in the air and looked at everybody else. You're playing with an amateur, finished 20 plus, I think it was. And then you guys just looked at each other, let's finish this thing, and took off running. It was classical watching it.
Yeah, it kind of got to the point on 17 there. I got to the tee first. I knew that, you know, like we're coming back in those conditions for one hole, especially when you're above the cut line. I just looked back at Tiff. I'm like, what are you ladies doing? And Tiff kind of, you know, being the veteran of the group, took charge and was just like, you girls want to finish? Everybody gave the nod. Tiff teed off, and it was kind of funny because we teed off first, and it was just ready golf by that point, and you didn't see this spectacle, but we just took off as a group. And even when something you never see in women's professional golf or professional golf, but all three of us were missing the cut, pretty funny. Like, Tiff and I were down on the bridge crossing the creek, and the other girls were like 100 yards back still teeing off. So it was like, it was like no waiting, quite a spectacle. Like, they're just going through the routines and still hitting, and we're walking to our balls, get to the ball, next shot, go. Like, it just kind of like speed golf, and something that, yeah, was probably exactly kind of entertaining.
Yeah, out of the normal routine by far. You guys just running down to get it in, because God forbid you come back Saturday morning to play one hole knowing you're going to miss the cut. And withdrawing when you know you're going to miss a cut is not, it's frowned upon by the LPGA. They might even fine the girls. I'm not sure of that, but there was a tournament to be played. Everybody under eight under and lower got placed. Beautiful day. The winds were calm. The lake there, Louisville Lake, was still. Fishermen out there fishing. Parkers were not as seen that much. I think I even saw a pair of shorts out there on one of the caddies, and even Rock, Morgan Pressley, he was in shorts the very first day when it was 30 degrees, 40 by the time they teed off. But yeah, but cold, chilly temperatures, but for sure.
And yeah, so just let's jump into the golf. There was some amazing golf being played, and we had Angela Stanford, you know, come out on top this week, and a pretty cool win for the 43-year-old veteran, getting it done with a 67 on Sunday in her home state of Texas in some windy, cold conditions, which we've beat down, but really, really popular win. She's the Solheim Cup co-captain coming up in 2021 at Inverness, and you were there, Ron. What happened, man?
Yeah, good for Angela, the matriarch out there. Like you said, 43-year-old, been out there for 20 years, her seventh victory. She's won one time in the last 8 years, and that was a major. But her first victory, 2003, was a week before the U.S. Open. She won that, and then she did actually contend at Pumpkin Ridge, where Hillary Lunke won that trophy, took it and ran, and never seen her. But a shout out to Ryan Hilton. That was Angela's caddy. He's a real quiet guy. He's been on the bag the whole season with her. And I don't know how many cuts she makes, but she's got a new coach. She's working on her short game. She birdied four of the last six holes coming in on Sunday to hold off So Young Yu and MB Park, who's a two-time winner back here at Old American Golf Club. It was a good tournament. I mean, like I said, the weather turned and people were no fans again, but there was a little bit of people following Angela's mom and dad. First time they've ever seen her win. They were out there walking alongside, but good for Angela getting it done. Like I said, her seventh win, one major. She's looking primed coming into the 75th U.S. Open here in Houston this week.
Yeah. And, you know, she's actually been up the leaderboard quite a bit this year. I don't know how many top tens, but, you know, she's had little glimmers of hope, and she's just a strong player. I played in a practice round with her, and I think she's got a really great move. And you had to touch on your working with a short game coach recently, really, really hard. And let's just, for all the listeners out there, all the young people, through three rounds of golf, Angela hit only 50% of her greens in regulation, 50%, and she ends up winning the golf tournament. So you want to talk about not necessarily being the best ball striker in the field, but having your chipping and putting going. I mean, it's just another example of short game, you know, coming in strong. Distance is really important, and ball striking is important, but you can miss as many greens as you want, and it hasn't cost you anything as long as you got a tidy short game. And I mean, I thought it was a great tournament. Star-studded leaderboard.
Yeah, there's for
some, sure, some players that are coming up that are here prepping for the U.S. Open. You know, we got So Young Yu and Jin Young Ko in the field and in contention, and it was just awesome right down to the final hole.
Yeah, it was right down to the end, by for sure. Like I said, four out of six birdies. She did bogey 18. She had about a 4-foot putt. very difficult chip shot, but put it within 4 feet. Just to get up and down, missing 50% of your greens in regulation the first 3 days is amazing. I mean, really hats off to her for working on that short game with her coach Todd up there from, I think it was South Dakota.
Yeah, and man, I mean, I don't know, like So Young Yu, Imbi Park, Jin Young Ko. Really, watching on Sunday, I thought Jin Young Ko was going to get it done. We haven't seen her all year. She's the world number one. She didn't really have a great showing back in the States at the Pelican a week or two ago, but she's looking like she, you know, is the commanding world number one, and should be interesting. Moving into, you know, she had that double on hole 14, which kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of rust with the lack of competitive golf recently, but she should be poised to make a run at the U.S. Open next week.
Yeah, well, So Young Yu, she was right. The first tournament coming back, and she was right up there the whole time. She had 17 pars in a row on Sunday, birdied the 18th hole. Saturday, I think she had another 12 pars or so mixed in with one birdie. So she was the most consistent by far out there. For her first time back in the States playing, her caddy flew over to Korea, played three tournaments over there. Same with Dave Booker, the caddy for Jin Young Ko. He flew over to Korea and they played a few tournaments over there, just kind of getting the rust off and warming up for the what they're really looking forward to, the 75th U.S. Open here in Houston.
Yeah, 17 pars, that's not really something you want in a golf round. I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't look at too many of her stats for round 18. I'm not sure if it was, you know, lots of birdie opportunities and just didn't get the putts to drop, or if it was like quite a few missed greens and just like deadly short game getting up and down.
Couldn't really get the putts dropped. She only had five bogeys on the week, the lowest in that field. Angela had the second most birdies with 17. Lindsey Weaver had 18. But just having five bogeys in 72 holes going around there for playing the first time back in the States, incredible. She's got to be pumped coming into this week.
Yeah, I can tell you, like, one of the things as a golfer and a caddy and a coach is just, like, if you can keep a clean card out here, you're going to be in contention. That means you're not falling back. And, you know, for any young golfers, just limit your mistakes out there. Any recreational golfers, the less amount of bogeys, you're going to get the odd birdie to drop. And then it just means that you're always going to be around par. So one thing that really impressed me, yesterday was Yalimi Ngo. Pretty new out here. That kid's, you know, held her own coming down the stretch, top five finish. She had a top three in Portland. She contended in Portland and last year as well. And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time. That's one swing out that I watch on the range where I really like her action. And, you know, coming from a 19-year-old, I think it's, you know, a matter of time before she continues to see herself in this position and finally just maybe get the job done. And what a position for her to be in, playing with So Young Yu and Jin Young Ko, just to watch that.
Imbi Park. She was teamed with Imbi Park and Ko. And that was her two idols growing up in Korea. Her parents are from Korea. She was born in NoCal, but with Korean descent, she idolized Imbi Park and Jin Young Ko. And she gets Jin Young Ko. She gets to play with them in the final round on Sunday. And then she drops in probably a 15-foot birdie on 18 to tie the two of them for, I think it was second place. So great victory for her. She already got 250K in the bank for a rookie season. I mean, she's really getting done. She is a good for this week.
Yeah, special moment for her. And Charlie Hall, I believe, was our first round leader. Kind of fell off, but you know, on moving day, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, 300 par.
Strong showing, and we haven't really seen much of Charlie this year, but poised to make a run here. I know in the last major she ended up getting testing positive for COVID. I know because I played a practice round with her, or two majors ago. Sorry, that was the ANA. But making poised to make a run, trying to get into the CME Tour Championship. I'm not sure how she stands after this week, but gonna need a good one at the U.S. Open next week.
Yeah, Angela was so solid. She took the lead on 14 and never really looked back. Yes, she got a little help from Ko where she double bogeyed. That was a three-shot swing just on that hole. And then Angela owned the 17th hole. She bogeyed it the first day, birdied eagle, birdied it, coming in, take a seven on that hole on the weekend is a great score. So hats off to Angela. She really took it to it. You know, coming off a rib injury in 2018, just worked on a short game, and there she is back in the winner's circle in front of her mom and dad, her caddy, Ryan Hilton, on the back. It was good to see the veteran get it done. I was really happy for that. And like you said, she is a Solheim Cup assisted captain with that's Pat Hurst's team with Michelle Weiss. So she might be a playing captain there. She's in 14th right now on the Solheim list.
Yeah, she kind of brushed over that when it came up in her press conference there. But, man, as a player, you know that's in the back of her mind, especially did she jump to 14 after this win, or was she 14 prior? I mean, that's right in there. Another, you know, strong few events.
It's got to be 14 after this win.
Sure. Very, very close. And, you know, especially riding that confidence, you just don't go from winning a golf tournament to, you know, falling to the back of the pack. Like she's in command of some good golf right now. And I suspect she'll either hover close to 14 or even jump up into the top 10 in the Solheim picks.
Oh, yeah, and after 2018 rib injury season, she's never been outside the top 50 on the money list. She did slip down. She will definitely jump back into there with a cash in that $250,000 check this weekend. So that puts her right back up there, coming in here, hometown girl. Not speaking of hometown, a lot of the hometowns get it done. Here we are in Texas. You know, let's jump in a little bit of the U.S. Open. We got quite a few Texans here. Pillar, Stacey Lewis, Gilman. I'm looking for a Lone Star State girl to hold a trophy this week.
Well, and even I just want to backtrack 1 minute here, Ronnie, as Kristen Gilman actually top 10 this week. Maybe let's just round out the top 10 there and then hop into the U.S. Open. Just want to, because Anna Nordqvist was in there as well. And Kristen Gilman, who I've played with quite a bit, Texas, where's that trendy little place down there in the south that Kristen's from?
Houston, Austin.
Austin, Texas.
Galveston. So
strong showing, top 10, and Madeline Sagstrom also rounding out the top 10 as well. But 100%, I mean, anytime you have, you know, a bit of home field advantage, I don't know, do you think it's plays in your favor, or is it kind of hinder you with the pressure?
I think it's most definitely, especially for Angela. She said it wasn't any pressure pack because her family was not, a lot of them were there because of the COVID year, but you're sleeping. I don't know if she was sleeping in her own bed, but when you're at home where you grew up and you have friends coming out, I think it definitely helps. Maybe to add a little pressure to the younger people out there, like a Gilman who hasn't been there, but she was right up there, top 10 finish. You know, like I said, the Texans are looking real strong. They play in this wind all the time.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think just due to COVID, there's just going to be a little less pressure, you know, just because all your family and friends are, you know, there's all of a sudden no peanut gallery. You know, you're not going to feel that that outer people, you know, cheering you on and stuff, which can motivate you, but can also be downfall in sport as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, just being from Texas, knowing the conditions, should be a benefit moving into the U.S. Open, which you are at. You are in Houston. Talk to us, Ronnie. What's going on down there, man? I wish I could be there.
Weather is beautiful. Weather will not be an issue. Birds fly south. Golfers went south. Up in the 20, 25 degrees down here in Houston. It's only in the last 42 years on the LPGA, it's only two times they've played two tournaments in Texas in the same year. And obviously with the COVID thing, it was within the same month. But weather is good. I haven't been out on the course because there's a full field, 156 players going to tee it up. So they're using two different courses, the Champions Course and Cypress Point, Cypress, I believe it's called. And so you have to play one on Thursday, one on Friday. Then they'll have to make the cut 70 in ties. And then they go into the weekend. They'll be playing on the Champions Course over the weekend. I did see a sign as I was driving in about admission for spectators. So it said something about go to admission gates. I don't think a little bit of fanfare here or what the situation is, but it's pretty much decked out, flags everywhere, the big U.S. Open emblems flying all over. Got my COVID test the other day, got that done, another non-reactive. So I've been pretty healthy for the last 8 months, which is rare for all the traveling we've been doing in and outside the rig and just crossing the United States. But the girls are ready. They're poised. Great temperatures. I wonder what the scores are going to be. I mean, can we go as low or as high as -7? Will that? I mean, that was last week's score. I don't know if we've had one that low this year. Maybe, even the KPMG. I think Kim was over that, wasn't she? -8. So this we're looking for some low scores, you know.
Se Young Kim made it double.
Whichever way you want to look at it.
Se Young Kim made it to double digits in at the KPMG.
Double digits.
There. Yeah. She ended up just lapping the field, but you know, I'd be curious.
Could have been our.
I'd be curious how it works out with the two golf courses. As like a caddy and a player, it's quite a bit more work. You gotta go and map out two golf courses. You gotta learn two golf courses, and you're only playing one round on the one course before the cut. And the reason they're doing two golf courses, it wasn't always planned that way, but the daylight hours, they just kind of have to make it work. And it's just phenomenal that the USGA has gone ahead and are giving the women an opportunity to play. So, you know, a little bit difficult, but I'm not sure what the flagship course is, which one they're playing the Saturday, Sunday. I'm sure Ron knows that information. But US Opens, they're usually going to try to keep it in the single digit range for score.
Sure, that's right. I'm sure they'll dial those greens back, make them speedy, fast, and see what happens. But they're playing a championship course here. I think that's what it's called on Saturday and Sunday. But it's going to be interesting. I'm excited to get out there. A lot of amateurs in the field. That's always fun to watch them out there. It is an open tournament, so anybody's eligible if you're a scratch golfer or so. But this year, qualifying was a little bit different. There's good Emily Pettersson coming over from UK, coming off hot, 3 wins in a row. I'm going to go say hello, look for her to be up there on the leaderboard. But I'm excited to get it started. Like I said, weather's perfect. It's a Chamber of Commerce Bluebird Day out here. There's not a breeze blowing. Sun is out. Temperatures are warm. Excited to get out there and take a look at it. You know, last thing I was thinking about the two different courses. The caddies are out there all the time mapping out the course before the things, walking by themselves, getting yardages. Why don't any players go out there with their caddy and kind of talk it out without a bag on their shoulder and hitting the ball and just kind of mapping it out together?
Yeah, I mean, assuming that they have a good caddy, especially on golf courses that the girls already know, like the circuit always plays the same course, but that's just kind of the stuff that ends up happening in the practice round, right? Like you only have so much time in a day. You only have so much energy. That's the caddy's job. And, you know, of course it would be beneficial if you both did it, but it just boils down to managing your energy, managing your time. Just because you can't do it all, because you're just going to go right back out there and walk the golf course playing 18 anyway. So hopefully your caddy's been out there, done a good job, and the player can just fill in the blanks a little bit that way. So it's just kind of like, it's just a bit of extra, you know, is all that would be, right? Because they're seeing the golf course anyway. And
yeah, but I don't. Yeah, with this tournament, there's two courses, so I can see why you wouldn't go out and try to remember two different courses. But on a regular, when you're only playing one course as a player, yeah, in a practice round, you're dropping 1, 2, 3 balls, hitting them up there. But I'd rather walk out there and just have an open conversation with my partner, caddy, and say, where do we not want to hit it? That's the thing in golf. It's not where you want to hit. It's where you want to don't want to miss it. So that's the most important key, I think. But you're right. If you got a good veteran caddy on the back, T-Mac is in the house. He's been out here, and he said he had to walk 2 courses. He's never seen either one of these courses. So, yeah, when I pulled into testing, there's 2 different yardage books, $70 this week instead of the standard $35. So they're making some – maybe they give you cut a little break on the price. I don't know. I did not look into that. But it'll be nice. Yeah, you're right. 2 different courses. Got to
USGA,
that's right.
Will give-
USGA picks up the tab.
They pick up the tab for that. And just to keep on your point there, Ron, when you're out there playing practice rounds, you talk about strategy and all that stuff with your players. So walking it, you might as well just be hitting a ball, because that's what a practice round is. But, yeah, should be interesting. T-Max back on the bag. And shout out to Emily Kristen Pettersson for sure on those 3-peat wins. That's phenomenal. And maybe just the spark that she needs is a really great young talent who came out in 2015. Really hot, and you know, had big things poised her way, and kind of fell off. I've heard she's super talented. I've never actually played with her, but obviously 3 wins on any professional level is absolutely you know, mind blowing, especially back to back to back. But we'll see how she goes with the pressure. You know, she's under a bit of a gun now. You know, the limelight, the media, and stuff like that, and people are watching her. So should be an interesting follow this week for sure.
Well, speaking of back-to-back, So Young Kim did not play last week, and she's coming off KPMG a week off, and then the Pelican a drive on one. She won that thing, and now she's had another week off, so she's got to be up somewhere. Daniel Kang's been resting up for a few weeks now. She's got him in strong. It's the usual suspects, I imagine, but you leave me know, I wouldn't put it past her to steal it.
Yeah, I mean, Siyoung Kim, she's got to be my favorite to win. She's won the last two times she's teed it up. She's definitely the best golfer in the world right now, you know, outside of the world golf rankings. I mean, but just the hottest golfer. So I think she's going to be there come Sunday. And again, like you said, it's always, you know, the normal horses are you know, they're the top players for a reason. Danielle Kang, let's see what Brooke Henderson's going to do. I kind of got my eye on Anna Nordqvist. She's, you know, been in contention several times. She was in contention at the KPMG.
Yeah, now there's a good one.
Anna Nordqvist has been in contention at the KPMG. She's was in contention at Arkansas. She's in contention this week, and you know, she plays that those good tough golf courses well. So that's kind of like my dark horse pick, even though
Texas
I don't
wedge.
Think she's a dark horse. That's right. She can putt from anywhere, as we know. And you know, USGA usually has a lot of closely mown areas. So Anna Nordqvist gonna be in contention on Sunday. Boom.
She needs to go see Angela Stanford's coach and figure the short game, because she's got zero. She's putting off the green with a hybrid, which I think is a good play, you know, being a 15 handicap rookie at hybrid, rolling it through there. But she's putter off the Texas wedge. But yeah, here at Champions Golf Club, there's two courses. They share the same clubhouse, Cypress Creek Course and the Jackrabbit. Jackrabbit's what they're going to be playing Saturday and Sunday. And they share the same clubhouse, so it's not like there's a big widespread. You got to drive somewhere else. So, should be interesting. Looking forward to the leaderboard. Anna Nordqvist, a very good pick. You leave me know. You know, then some local, Stacey Lewis, local girl. You know, I wouldn't, she's from Houston. She's sleeping in her own bed 45 minutes away. I'm going to give her the nod, and I'm going to go throw a couple, a little bit of money on her, I think.
Okay, so that's your pick. You're going Stacey Lewis. I'm going Anna Nordqvist. I think Soyoung Park as well. I mean, I just, that, how do you not? You know, how do you not? How do you not?
Sunghyun Park, she hasn't done anything since she's been back from the break, but you're right. You're right when it comes down to
the sorry.
It'll definitely separate the
Soyoung Kim. Soyoung Kim, yeah.
Yeah, well, Park is not a bad pick either. Park is not a bad pick to throw a little bit of side action on her just to cover the rest of it. But when it comes down, usual suspects will probably be up there. You know, they're going to wait, put it in the ground, tee it up, see what goes down. We're just kind of chomping at the bit to get out there and get started. It's only Monday here. I'm going to go work the putting green for a little while, check it out, what's happening. Say a good congratulations to Angela and Ryan Hilton for getting the job done up there. And just looking forward to a good week.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate, you know, I look forward to hearing some information as we go throughout the week. Wish I could have been there, and look forward to broadcasting it later on Sunday or Monday to the listeners, to the
Yeah,
to
I know
the
you're going to be doing a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, I'm heading to Mexico tomorrow.
Traveling. Hope you have a chance over the weekend. Hope they have phones down or telephones, TVs down there. You might be able to check a little bit of the U.S. Open. Wave a Canadian flag. Brooke Henderson is poised to win.
You know, I've been picking Brooke all year, and she's just disappointed me. So I'm just gonna, you know, for the Canadian.
Stay with it.
I'm not gonna pick her, and then maybe she'll get the job done, and we can
and
pump
maybe
Brooke's
she'll
tire.
Win.
So yeah, man, appreciate
all right,
brother.
Well, it's good seeing you. Good hearing from you. Catch some waves out there in SoCal, beautiful Oceanside in Southern California, on your trek across the border south for the holidays. You enjoy your trip out there, man.
Thanks, brother. You have such a great week. And for all the listeners, we are once again at Let's Talk Divots on all platforms. And again, just a broken record here, but keep sharing, keep liking, keep listening. And sorry about the quality of today's pod. We will continue to strive to be better for you, the listener. Peace.